You're listening to Relationship Monday. This is the podcast of the program, which airs on Facebook Live each Monday from 7:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you would like to watch the Facebook Live video, search Monty Weatherall on Facebook.
Let's do it.
Welcome to another edition of Relationship Monday. I am your Relationship Monday host and your relationship coach, Monty Weatherall. I want to apologize to everybody out there who's been waiting for 14 minutes. I tell you, when you are in the technological age and you are messing with this technology, sometimes you have issues, and we had a lot of them today. So I had to shut everything down and bring everything back up. We have an exciting show that's lined up for you. I'm going to do this really quick because we're at the top of the hour, and I have a guest attorney that's on in our first part segment, and I got to get her up and down because she's a mommy, she's an attorney, and you know, we're already behind time, so I want to make sure I get her. Here's how you can participate in tonight's conversation. You can give us a call at 618-230-3839. That's 618-230-3839. And with rushing, trying to get back on the air on time, I didn't bring in my bars and everything, but I always have a backup to the backup. So 618-230-3839. You can also comment on section like everyone is doing. Like Laura says, hello, everyone. Carolyn says, good evening, PM. And I need you guys also to share this video. You can also send me your private inboxes. That's how we're doing it. And as you know, The new theme music is Wild Thing by Tone Loke, because every time my wife and I get ready to go somewhere, we always say, let's do it. And so I said, well, let's just make this a part of the show. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started right now tonight, because we, again, are behind, and I want to make sure that we get this entire show in. I want everybody to get ready for our first segment, which is called Before We Get Started. Our today Before We Get Started segment is actually a question that I received from a member of our Facebook family, and I had to get some legal advice on this one. And so I brought in my cousin, this wonderful woman of God who's doing great things. She's an attorney. We're going to welcome Jocelyn Sandifer. Everybody give her thumbs up, claps. Hey, Jocelyn, hello. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I want to apologize in advance. I have my little one out here, so periodically you may see a 1.5-year-old making an appearance on the screen.
Hello, hello. And he was so patient and quiet before, but when we had the technical to go difficulties, he got to be a part of the show tonight. That's how we're going
to
do it.
He may have to be a part of the show. My apologies in advance. It's very close to 8:00, which is bedtime.
No problem at all. So here is what I want to do for you. I want to hit you with a question that a Facebook friend of ours of the show inboxed us. He watches the show. And this was a man that was recently engaged. And this is what he said. It said, it took me 14 months to save for a ring for my woman. I made payments totaling $5,400 on the exact ring she wanted. I proposed to her, gave her the ring, only to discover she was cheating on me. I caught her in the very act. I asked her for the ring and she refused to give it back to me. My question is, can I sue her for the ring or the money back? Do I have any legal backup here? What say you, Attorney Jocelyn Sandifer?
You know what? This question is not as uncommon as some people may think. And the courts are actually split on whether or not this man has any recourse. And before I give my suggested steps, I will say that the choice of a lawyer is very important, and it should not just be based on what I say. And you probably also have to look at your local laws to see whether or not you'll be in a position where you can recover. But the question here really is there yet a contract, right? Is there yet an agreement between the two parties. I think really had they made their way closer to the altar, he probably would have greater recourse because both of them may have been acting under some type of agreed terms, right? Even if not articulated, both parties would have been moving in a certain direction and maybe spending costs in a certain way towards an anticipated end. But that's what a contract is, right? You do something, I do something, and then there's that promise. So the question is whether or not they were in a contract. And unfortunately, a lot of the courts say that prior to entering into a marital agreement, which is not only a contractual agreement between two parties and God, but also is a legally binding contract that cannot be vacated without some rule from the court. These two people are dating, and lots of courts will consider what he gave her a gift, maybe a very extravagant gift, one that he saved for, one that he has, believed is going to in turn give him something back. But lots of courts say that it is a gift. Now, on the other hand, there is something called unjust enrichment. And unjust enrichment basically means that you've gotten something or obtained something and you don't necessarily deserve it, right? If you woke up one day and there was $500 extra in your bank account and you knew you didn't earn it, well, the courts will say, hey, you got to give that back. That's unjust enrichment. And so some courts have said that this is unjust enrichment, right? That a person has in some way led someone else to believe that they were going to get this other benefit of the bargain and they've been unjustly enriched by receiving the ring. Okay. So that in that case, in that state, the question is, well, what can I do or what should I do? I say that it comes down to dollars and cents. I think the first thing you want to do is find out how much it costs to file a small claims case against the person. Because if it costs more to file the small claims than it costs to get your ring, then you probably got to decide whether or not it's worth it. Now, maybe it's worth her being embarrassed or you're getting an opportunity to see her back in court again. But that's not really the question. The question is whether or not it makes sense, right, to spend a few $100 on filing the paperwork or spend a few $1,000s on hiring an attorney in order to represent your interest. And then the court may or may not determine that this is the type of contractual agreement that would allow you recourse. In the end, ladies and gentlemen, the reality is that before you start investing your money, planting seeds in the ground towards something that you don't know will bear fruit, you need to think about it first because the courts may not be able to reconcile your issue.
But man, Jocelyn, okay, two things real quick. State of Illinois, would he get some money back? Something?
State of Illinois, it's likely that the state of Illinois may consider it a gift, unfortunately.
And see, I'm not just doing this for me. I'm doing this for the men across the world. Right? I mean, it wasn't an engagement ring. It wasn't just a promise ring. It was like, and they just may say it's a gift.
They may say it's a gift. What if it was $54?
It was $5,400, though.
I know it was $5,400. And for that reason, he feels like his investment is greater than some others. But I mean, that's kind of, it's all relative, right? Yeah. Because if he had $5.5 million in the bank, it's not even really 1% of what it is he has.
But he said it took me 14 months to save.
I think that it is unfortunate, but in the state of Illinois, lots of judges. Now, there is always this caveat in the law for equity, right? For what's fair, what's right, what's just. And he could come across a judge that would say that equity would require either the return or the cost of the ring. I do question the timing. Did he propose prior to finding out she was cheating?
He proposed, yes. He gave her the ring. He says, I gave her the ring only to find out that she was cheating on me. You know what? My head's spinning with that. I was hoping you was coming in strong like Judge Judy or something, like give him the money back. I'm Jocelyn, cousin.
I'm disappointed. I don't write the laws. I don't like the laws, and I don't interpret them. And like I said, there may be a judge out there that might say that a contractual agreement, when she accepted the ring, may have been formed. And if you don't get the benefit of your bargain, right, then maybe you can argue, but it's all going to come down to contracts, right? How clear was that?
So let me just say this, and then we got to go ahead and wrap, because I know you got to put your baby to bed. We got to get started the show. So Jocelyn Sandifer. Mm-hmm. So then are you telling me that before I propose, man, listen, should I have a contract saying this is stating that my plan is to marry you and your plan is to marry me? Should I have you sign some after I get off my knee?
After you get off your knee, you should walk her over to the table and ask if she would not mind signing a promise to marry.
All right, yeah. That's all I need to know. Jocelyn, you are awesome. Thank you so much. Hey, I get a lot of these from time to time, and we're going to get started next time on time, because before we have to put baby to bed, I would love for you to come back sometime and answer these questions.
Absolutely. It was very fun. I hope, you know, the person gets some recourse. Maybe you'll find someone that is much more willing to be honest and true.
Amen to that. Thank you, Jocelyn.
All right, no problem. Good night. You guys have a great time.
Man, that was not the answer I was expecting, Relationship Monday family. That is jacked, so jacked up. Brothers, if you on here, has that ever happened to you? You can just say yes or no. And brothers, what would you do? Sisters, what would you do? You bought the wedding dress and everything, and you discovered your man was cheating. What would you do? That's the question for the night. Thank you, Jocelyn Sandifer, for being on the show tonight. We're going to get started. Next up now is we're getting ready to bring in the queen of the night, who's going to jive and talk with us and about five things that single women can do to make themselves more marketable. Before I bring her on, check out this video right here.
Almost every piece of business literature today acknowledges that African-American women are the fastest growing segment of entrepreneurs in America. And at the same time, many other journals suggest that although they are dominating the business sector, the same cannot be said about their marital status. According to statistics, many Black successful women are lagging far behind when it comes to walking down the aisle when compared to women from other nationalities. Has the Black woman mastered marketing techniques in business while failing to learn how to market herself personally? Our guest tonight, Marlena Cole, will help us answer that question and provide techniques each woman can use to make herself more marketable. Relationship Monday family, let's welcome dating coach Marlena Cole.
Family, I'm going to bring the woman of the hour in here tonight, talking to a new buddy of mine, someone I just recently met about a couple of months ago, but we're going to have a great working relationship as it pertains to relationships. Dating coach Marlena Cole. How you doing, Marlena?
Hey, Monty. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm doing fine. I want to apologize to all of my guests for the technical difficulties today, but you know what? We're live. It is 7:56. I need everyone right now to please share this video right now. And we're going to run a little over tonight because we want to get it all in. I also have a good friend of mine who's not a stranger to Relationship Monday, Dr. Oliver T. Reed. He is here in the lobby waiting to serve as special guest commentator tonight. But before I bring Dr. Oliver in, I want to just interview the woman of the hour just for a little bit before we start answering the five. Is that okay, Marlena?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So tell me something. How did you become a dating coach? That's, you know, we have relationship coach, but you said dating coach. How did you become a dating coach, queen?
Oh, wow. So I'm going to give you the short version, okay? So I'll tell you a little bit about me and how it came about. So I've been married 6 years now. I have a daughter who's 23, a son who's 4. Don't judge me. Can you hear me okay, Monty?
I hear you great.
Okay. And I was single. I had my daughter very young. I was a teenage mom. Around 27 years old, I wanted to be married. Grew up with both parents, loving family. I was like, okay, 27, it's time, right? Just knew God was going to send my husband. 28, I'm like, okay, this year. 29, 30, kept rolling. And I was single for 10 years, struggling, wanting to be married. And I began to pray and God took me through this long journey teaching me how to be a wife. And I turned my journey into a book titled Renewing of Your Mind and Spirit for Marriage. And that was, I believe, the catalyst for me really learning how to be a wife. Shortly after publishing my book, I met my husband. And I was practicing these new dating things I was learning and just God renewing my mind and teaching me how to better attract and connect and build relationships. And so got married right after that. And of course, you know, once you're married, you're just focused on being married. But I still had that drawing of wanting to help other single women. And so the last few years, I've just been learning how to build a business, crafting my framework, you know, undercover test, you know, how we do with beta testing, coaching other women. And that's kind of how it came about. Just really my struggle and just learning how, teaching myself, teaching other women, because as that video you just shown, we are least likely, African-American women are least likely to get married across all races, across every age group.
Yeah.
And I just don't buy into that, right? I don't buy into that. I believe that's a truth, but I believe we can create our own truth in that.
Take me to when you were single. I want to take me back to that time. I think ultimately those of us who are helpers, my story, I told before, I was crying my eyeballs out in my home as a single, a divorced man. And I remember having this epiphany, this revelatory moment that, Lord, when I get out of this, I'm going to reach back and not only help singles, but help married people as well. Yeah. And I call that my rock bottom moment. It was from those ashes that I would rise up and God began to recraft me and to make sure that I would now not only rise up, but reach back. Take me back to the moment when you were single, great woman. What was that rock bottom moment for you where you knew that, you know, you had to come and offer folks something to help them?
Yeah, I think it wasn't when I was single, right? Mm-hmm. I had this book that I wrote about learning how to be a wife, but I was still single. And I'm like, I'm not publishing this book because I'm still single. I think it came after I got married, honestly, because my first 2 years of marriage, I struggled, and I shared that story. I struggled being a wife because it was a whole different game with being single and dating and becoming a wife. And I said to myself, probably my year and a half, second year of me being married, is that, you know, single people need to, the married people really should tell us more about what we're getting into and how to really prepare for marriage, because dating and marriage is two different games. It's completely two different games. And right. So while I had mastered how to date in a healthy way, when I got married, I was like, whoa, this is a whole different game. And I think that was my moment to say, you know what? I need to share my story, share what I learned, and share with people the realities when you first get married, and teach them how to build those communication skills, teach them how to build those conflict management skills while they're dating, because you're going to need those when you get married. And a lot of married people don't talk about that.
You know, my last question for you, and then we're going to bring Dr. Oliver in. We're going to get started on the five. Mm-hmm. Is why do you think there are so many professional women who are single? If you had to put your finger on what was it, why do you think there are so many professional women who are single?
Yeah, I think that, and it's so funny, I talked about this the other day. I believe that men they want to provide and protect. And we know all that has happened in our community, right? Mm-hmm. And so now that we have professional women making six figures, seven figures, buying their own house, their own car, I think there's a disconnect between men and women. And so men don't know how to fit into that. Like, how can I provide and protect for her when she's making more money than me, when she has her own house, her own car? And then women are struggling to say, well, where do they fit? Because I can provide my own house, my own car, but it's so much more than that. Right. And so I think we're stuck in that basic level of provide and protect, but it includes so much more than financial. And right. so I think when we can come and be honest and vulnerable, men and women, with what we need, that is so much more than money. Money is just a tool, but that yeah. money can't hold me at night, right? Money can't, I cry on my husband's shoulders after a bad day. Money don't do that for me. I have my MBA, have several certifications, right? That doesn't mean come close to what my husband bring to the table for yeah. my life. And so I think when we can let down the guards and say, hey, what does provide and protect look like, right? Yeah. What do you need from me? Because it's so much more. And you being married, you know that, hey, money, you know, money is just a tool. And right. so I think when we can let down those guards and stop just thinking provide and protect like our grandparents did, where he went out, slayed the dragon, brought in the bacon, she fried it, and go and expand our view of what provide and protect and love mean, I think that's when we'll start really connecting. It doesn't matter what your day job is, right? It's a day job or evening
Absolutely.
job.
Absolutely. We're here with dating coach Marlena Cole, and I tell you what, guys, this isn't, I'm telling you, it must be the storm. Whenever there's a storm, everything starts to act up in Weatherallville. I can't bring all my graphics up, so I'm just going to bring up the man of the hour. We're going to get started right now with the five. We have dating coach Marlena Cole on, and my friend, my buddy, here he is right here. Dr. Oliver T. Reed is back. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me?
Man, everything's fine. Everybody's on. Yes, sir. We can hear you all the time. I just hadn't brought you in the lobby yet.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Doc, I just want you to hold on. And what's going to happen is Marlena's going to give her top five. I need a scribe. Now, Marlena, they can be in any particular order. You don't have to give them you don't have to give your grand slam shot first. They can be in any particular order. We have folks on ready. I need everyone to please share this video right now. You can share this video right now. You can also give us a call. If you have a question for dating coach Marlena Cole, you can give us a call at 618-230-3839. Or if you have a question for Dr. Oliver T. Reed, you can also give us a call at 618-230-3839. I need a scribe to take notes for us tonight, because Marlena is going to give us our number one. What's the number one way that single women can make themselves more marketable?
All right. Dating is just good old marketing. That's so funny. I teach that in my program. So let's be clear, ladies. So my first one is, this is a man's world. I'll say that. This is a man's world, but it's nothing without a woman. Mm-hmm. All right. So we are the prize, right? So that's my first. I want to make sure I'm clear on that we are the prize.
To realize that you are the prize, women
that's
realize
right.
that you're the fly. Okay.
We are the prize, even though it's a man's world. I'll give them that. And so my second one is...
Wait a minute. We're not going to remember. Okay. We got 20 minutes or so. I want you to... Okay. See, here's how we're doing on Relationship Monday. So you got five of them, and you got to take 2 minutes to lay that out. What does that mean? We're gonna roll with this slow.
Slow
so women realize that you're the prize. What do you mean by that? Let's teach our sisters about that. What do you mean by that?
Right. Because and I don't want to go too spiritual, but it's true, right? That, and my dog is beating at the door. It's true that when God made man, he said it's not good for man to be alone. So he brought him alone a suitable mate, right? Mm-hmm. To help him along. And even if you take it to the natural, is that with men don't do as well alone. Married men are richer. Married men are healthier, and they live longer compared to single men.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's the essence, right? That women bring to a relationship. And of course, men have their essence as well that they bring to our life. But when I say women are the prize, we bring something that men don't have that makes you live longer and that makes you richer.
Dr. Oliver T. Reed, who's serving as our special guest commentator. What do you think about what she said, King? Women need to realize that they are the prize. What do you think about that, sir?
Yeah, she came out firing. Wow. That is such a, I agree. Women are the prize. I agree. That's a great, great comment. I think it's so, so valuable to understand that the prize has to be wrapped.
Mm.
Something. And mm-hmm. I think that's the whole discovery process as men. We don't want, you know, just to see her say or hear her say, I'm the prize. You know, we want to have some grace with it, some tact with it, and also some humility.
Yeah.
But I think you're exactly right. Women are the prize.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. That's that marketing piece, right?
Yeah. So women are the let me start some mess. Well, what are men then?
Men.
Dating coach.
Oh, men are the best thing since sliced bread. Yes, for sure.
I was just kidding there. This is Relationship Monday, man. I'm so glad we have dating coach Marlena Cole. We've been waiting on this day to come with her. And she says, that's your number one way to make yourself more marketable, that realizing you are the prize. What's your number two, Queen?
So my number two, and this is a principle that I teach in my program, my Love Me Right program, that if everyone is your husband, then no one is your husband. And so that's just like in business. If everybody's your client, then nobody's your client. Right. And so why I say that to my women is that because of, and kind of to Dr. Oliver's point, is that if you approach every relationship, every interaction, let's not even call it a relationship, every interaction as, is this my husband? What do you have to bring me, right? Kind of back to Dr. Oliver's point. What do you have to offer me, right? Then you already lost the game. Because if people come to into our lives for a reason, a season, a time, if everybody's your husband, then nobody. And then you seem more desperate, right? And there's that desperation. I believe men can sniff desperation from a mile away. So that's my second one. If everyone's your husband, then no one is.
What do you think about that, Dr. Reed?
Wow, that's powerful. Again, if everybody is your husband, man, then nobody is. I think that's so powerful. As men, we want to, despite contrary beliefs, we want to be the chosen one. We want to be the only one. We don't want to be compared to Mike. If our name is not Mike, Jim. If our name is not Jim, we don't want to have to unpack all of the different things that has happened in relationships before. And I think as men, I hear this a lot of times talking to men, coaching men, and speaking to men, they're tired of being the rescuer of everything, the Red Cross for relationships. And I think that when it gets to that point, a lot of men check out because we don't want to do things like your dad. We don't want to do things like your ex-husband, if you've been married before, your high school sweetheart. We just want to be the best men that we are in that relationship. Mm.
Now, Dr. Marlena, here's what I mean, Coach Marlena, here's what I want to do. I'm sure the doctor is coming. here's what I want to do tonight. I want to make sure that we understand by saying marketable, what exactly are we saying? Because we're saying for women, single women, to make themselves more marketable. What's your heart behind that?
Yeah, my heart behind that is that I want my women to, one of my values is being authentic. And so for me, life equals relationships and relationships equal life, right? You want to improve your relationships, look at your life. You want to improve your life, look at your relationships. And so for me, being marketable is not just about dating. It's about life. It's about being who you are authentically, healing your wounds, moving your blocks so that you can connect, period. So that you can do better in life, period. It's not just about dating. It's about life. And so when I teach my women this, dating is just good old marketing. It's just like show up and be who you really are. Right. And so that you can connect and build healthier relationships across the board. Because when you're in that, if you take it from the relationship side, when your relationships are healthy, your life work is better. When your relationships suck, your productivity goes down. And so when you show up, regardless to it's professionally or personally or in your religious life, wherever you show up in the community, you should be wearing that badge of who you are and what you represent. Because you never know where your husband is going to be. You never know where that next business partner is, where that next person to get you to the next level or that you can pull up. So you should always be wearing this marketing. You should always be authentic to who you are and take time to heal, to move blocks or whatever's keeping you from being your authentic self.
Yeah. That's good. Go ahead, Doc.
I was going to say something powerful. You know, one of the things I want to speak to that, and this will really help women and men are looking for in that same scenario, and using a marketing term. You cannot be open for business but close at the same time.
That's right.
It's impossible for you to be open but close, which means that a lot of women think they're ready. They want this man. They're ready. They're more ready than their spouses, or they're more ready than their companions, but they're really close to the concept of embracing him. Not what he got, not his stuff, but are you really being authentic and being open? Are you open and closed at the same time?
Yeah, you know, and Marlena and Doc, let's flesh that out. I like this point right here because there are so many women and men, but we're talking about women specifically who are closed. Marlena, I keep thinking about Days of Our Lives, Marlena.
I think that's where my mom got it from.
Right. But Marlena, you know, when Dr. Oliver says close, and I think that spoke to you as well. What do we mean? And both of you guys are chiming in about women being, you can't be open and closed at the same time. What do we mean by close? What do we mean by that? Let's flesh that out a little bit.
And you know what? I'll sum it up because this is a big chunk of my Love Me Right program is because you hit it on the head. You can't be open and closed at the same time, right? And it's a fear. If you get to the core of it, it's a fear of being vulnerable,
yeah.
A fear of being hurt, and a fear of being rejected. So you tip your toe in a little bit and then you take it out.
Yeah.
Maybe I go on a date. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll listen to, you know, Monday Relationship Mondays and then I'll take some good notes, but then I don't act on it. Right. And then you have this heart's desire that's screaming that, hey, I have another purpose. I need to connect. I need to build this life with somebody. Yet you're too afraid. And so you have all these mental blocks. You have all these emotional blocks and you can't be open and closed. Like Dr. Oliver said, you can't be open and closed at the same time. Either you're always open or you're always closed.
Yeah, that's good.
That's part of, you know, if you're looking at marketing for relationships because you have the stop and go in relationships, it's what you give off. And I will say this part, women, men come to me a lot and they talk about how she's saying one thing, but her attitude is saying another thing. Or she's very nice, sweet, but she will never say she's sorry. She'll just do something for me. And so really, you can't press accelerate and brake at the same time.
No. I try that in my car and I always get a blinking light and the car slows down.
Yeah. And see, we have so many women out here. And I just want to stay on this marketing piece, guys, because we have so many single women. You know, I think about marketing. I think about advertising. And well, how does that look? How can these professional women, white collar and blue collar women, make themselves advertise and market themselves and make themselves more appealing? And I don't mean sexually or physically to a man, because remember, you know, what I'm thinking is, you know, like the clip said, there are so many women dominating the business marketplace, but not dominating in relationships in terms of being with somebody. And so I really want to make sure we speak to that tonight, because that is so important, you know?
Yes.
So, Marlena, what's your number three, Marlena?
My number three is, and this kind of plays into what you just said, it's make sure your love tank is full. And let me explain that a little bit. When you're driving on the road, have you seen a guy, woman with walking down the street with their gas can, their car run out of gas? Who stops? Nobody stops. You just think, man, how would they let their tank go empty? And it's the same thing, your love tank. Your love tank is made up of different aspects of your life, spiritual, your mental health, your friends, your family, traveling, your job. It's made up of all different aspects of your life. But what we do, what I find in single women, and I did the same thing, is that even in wives, sometimes we let our love tank go empty because we're taking care of everything else and everybody else except for ourselves, right? Or we just focus on our professional life. Because we're too afraid to look at our, it hurts too bad to look at our personal lives. And so we focus everything on getting that degree. We focus everything on climbing that ladder. And there's nothing wrong with that. I do the same thing, right? I've climbed the ladder. But when we feel only one part of our love tank, that's 100%, and we're only feeling 20%, men see that empty tank, right? And so who's stopping for somebody with, no, unless you know that person, you're not stopping to help the brother out with the empty tank. And it's the same thing, I believe, and for, especially for professional women. I see so many of my clients who just pour everything into their 9-to-5 or into their businesses. And I'm like, you have to balance this out because you look like the guy on the side of the road who ran out of gas.
And so if, so, and hold on here, Dr. Reed. So if she's looking for, and I just want us to flesh this out, right? That I'm that teacher, I'm that professor in college saying, let's develop this paper a little more.
Yes.
And so, and I think you're sticking there, Marlena. So if your love tank is, Marlena, you're probably going to go out and come back in. I think we're kind of, you're kind of stuck there. If your love tank is full, and Dr. Reed, I want you to hear this. If you're looking for love, how can you make sure your love tank is full? Marlena, you're going to have to come out and come back in. What say you, Dr. Reed, to that?
Yeah, I think the question was, how do you know your love tank is full?
Yeah, right? Because her point was,
I think it's one of those things where,
no, I want to make sure, because
you really have to.
Can you hear me, sir?
Really examine.
Wow.
Yourself.
Okay, Marlena, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, so I want to challenge to make sure that, you know, because these are great points. I say, so I'm gonna be that professor. Mm-hmm. How, if a woman is looking for love, what are the ways? Looking for love from a mate, what are the ways she can make sure her love tank is full?
Oh, that is such a good question. So it's several ways, right? So I believe we have, and if I can break it down this way, I believe that we have, if it's 100%, if our love tank is 100%, right? And I may not have my numbers quite right here. I'll do it off the top of my head. If we, I think we, between us and God, that's half of our love tank. Right. If you will, spending time with God, whatever your spiritual beliefs are, and spending time with yourself, doing things you're passionate about, taking care of your mental health. Right. I think family and friends is another part of your love tank, spending time with family, spending time with friends. Also, your passions. What are you passionate about? That's another slice of the pie, if you will. Right. And then your career is another slice of the pie. And then I believe that mate is 20%. And so what happens is that we focus all of our attention on one or the other, always hanging out with our girlfriends, always at work, always with the family, not taking care of our outer beauty, not taking care of our health, not eating right. All these things make up our love tank. And because what I find is that when we don't, like I said, life equals relationships and relationships equal life. And when you have something that's so important, which is relationships and connections and love, and you don't have that, we tend to lean to one side of the other, or we just don't do anything at all.
That's good.
We don't do anything at all. So we have to do things that we're passionate about. Don't go out just to meet men. Go and do things you're passionate about that fills your love tank.
I love
right?
it. I'm so glad. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad I challenged you to flesh that out because I think that's such a great point that so many times that we expect folks
just
to
be who you are.
To we expect for Dr. Reed, so I don't think important. You can hear me. So many times we expect people to come into our lives and make us happy or fill that's us right. up. When you should already be full, so that when you're full, now you guys can, if you have two people that are whole, now we can just add to the wholeness. The worst thing a person can do in a relationship, and this is really so great about making yourself more marketable. The worst thing a person can do in a relationship is get with somebody knowing they're already jacked up emotionally.
Yes,
and then
yes.
expecting and putting the weight and the brunt of the weight of my happiness or my love on another person. Mm-hmm. You should have that together already. Wouldn't you say that, sis?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Dr. Reed, if you can hear us, man, we're really having a problem. I think two-way, and I don't think you can hear us. You can hear us, but the timing is off. What's your number four, Marlena?
My number four is get out of your own head. Mm. Get out of your own way. we are, and that's kind of self-explanatory, we are sabotaging ourselves by reading the press, right? I truly believe that we get to create our own truth. I did it. As a teenage mom, I was supposed to be living in poverty, never married. My children were supposed to have children out of wedlock, right? I was supposed to be on food stamps and continue to have more children. But I created my own reality, got my MBA, bought my own house. My daughter's in college. She's never had another child. She's never had a child out of wedlock. I got married, never had another child out of wedlock. And so sometimes reading that press, it is draining and you begin to believe it. Yeah. But you have the power within you to create your own reality through all these things we're talking about, right? All these things can create a better connection and help you create your own reality.
That is good. That is good. Dr. Oliver, did you hear that? Get out of your own way. What do you think about that, sir? You know, Dr. Oliver, we're going to try you again the next day. I think he's gone. I don't think we're going to be able to. I think something's going on. So, Marlene, it's you and I. But you know what?
All right.
We're professionals. Let's roll.
Let's roll.
So here's what you're saying. Get out of your own way. And I love what you said in this piece, because here is what I tell the people that I minister to, especially the single sisters. And I want the sisters to hear this. These statistics, if you look at them, can be overwhelming.
Yes, they can be.
You know, I stopped quoting those statistics, something in one, 25 and one, 8 and one, or anything like that, because if you give in to that, you're going to produce what you believe.
Yes.
Right? Right? Anything is possible to him who believes. So what you believe, that becomes possible for you. So if you only believe in St. Louis, there's 7-1, and in Atlanta, that's 18-1, the men to women ratio, that's what you're going to submit to. You see what I'm saying, great woman? Mm-hmm. And so I love what you're saying. Stop giving into those statistics, stop speaking that death, and start speaking life into your relationship and say, hey, I don't care what the stats say. I don't care what the stats say about professional single women. That's not going to be my testimony.
That's right.
Go ahead, sis.
Yeah, I'll add to that. And it takes more than just saying it, right? I had to put action behind it. I worked my butt off not to become a statistic. Mm-hmm. I worked my butt off to learn how to better connect with men, to heal my heart, to boost my confidence, right? So it don't just come by osmosis saying, oh, I believe it. That helps. That's part of the equation. But everything is a process. And so there's a process to making sure that you don't become one of those statistics. It's so easy to say, well, that's the statistic and I'm just going to give into it, right?
What are some of the things that you did that you say you rucked your buns off? What are some of the things that you did? So I want those practical for the women that's watching this.
Oh, yeah. Team. So as far as the dating piece or.
Yeah, you said I believe it. It's just not belief, but I worked my buns off to get.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you do?
Oh, some of the things I did as far as the dating piece, and it was so unfortunate. I didn't have dating coaches around. I didn't, you know, that was for our Caucasian sisters and brothers. I didn't know anything about a dating coach, but I read probably just about every book on communication. I was following tactics from different books, relationships book, marriage books. And then I was like, this is not working. Right. And I was a strategist. I took not just emotion, but I also took logic, right, and my intuition, and I put all three of those together and I created me a plan on this is the way I should be dating. Yeah. This is what conversation I should be having. I started testing it. Everything was a test. I had no problem meeting men. My personality, I'm super cute, right? My personality, I met men. So I started practicing, Monty. I was like, okay, this is kind of where I was misstepping. This is where I was too emotional. Figure out why was I so emotional? I was like, oh, because I feel desperate. Okay, what things, and I started, and I broke it down like that. I wish I had somebody like you, somebody like me to walk alongside me then, because it wouldn't have taken me almost, my daughter, I didn't get married till my daughter was 18 years old. So I went over 10 years being single and a cycle of failed relationships because I had to teach myself.
Man, that's good. I love that. You know, and this is why we do Relationship Monday. This is why we bring dating coaches on and experts in, so that here is the phrase, so that you can do the work.
That's right.
And what you said, coach, is very great. Faith without works is dead. I can confess it. I can believe it. But at some point, I'm going to have to get out and do the work and work what I'm saying I'm confessing and believing. So I got to prepare myself and go to conferences and not just go and attend, but get the tools that you need, which I believe a lot of people are doing it tonight, getting the tools that they need to be ready, to be ready to live your life, to travel and do those things so that you can be ready when he shows up, and for the brothers, when she shows up. Would you agree with that, Coach?
I totally. And yes, and I'll wait to give my last point because it ties into what you're saying. But yes, I 100% agree. It's like, put it to work, test it out, right? Everything's a test. My women know everything's a test, right? Because if everybody's our husband, then nobody's our husband. We have nothing to lose. You're staying in integrity. That's all you have to do. Everything's a test.
Yeah. You know, this is such a great conversation. And you know, I want to say this because we're wrapping on the time here, Queen. Mm-hmm. How do the people get in contact with you? Give us websites, give us addresses and all of that.
Absolutely. So my website is www.lovemeright.net.
www.lovemeright.net.
Yep. And then I'm on Facebook as Marlena Cole, the dating coach.
Yes. I love it.
Yeah. So, love to hear from them and doing free for your people, doing free breakthrough sessions, our breakthrough session where we can break it down, get them a next step, right? I can't give you all the steps in that short amount of time, but definitely willing to do free breakthrough sessions for your people and see how we can get them out of that rut or see where their misstep is or what should be the next step.
I love it, great woman. I love it. Give me your number five.
My number five is, don't take yourself or him so serious.
Mm.
Have fun.
Flesh it out.
Have fun.
Flesh it out. Talk about it.
Yep. I mean, because we put so much pressure on ourselves and the other person because I don't want to waste time, right? Yeah. If you're not the one, I don't want to waste time. Well, you don't know what that person, what you're there for, what he's in your life for. Just don't take it so serious. And, you know, if it's meant to be, you guys will be able to work through it and connect and build that deeper relationship, but have fun in the moment. Have fun.
Yeah, because that particular guy may not be the one.
No.
And so a lot of times, you know, you're right. So many people go into relationships. I'm not even calling it a relationship yet. We go into situations that we're ready to sign, seal, and deliver the deal when it's not even about that. Maybe this was just divinely set up just so you could just have a nice Coca-Cola at the Central West End.
My girls, you could be meant to meet his brother and marry him.
right. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine today, and I told him, I said, you know, there's a book in me that I want to write, because a lot of times, you know what I see a lot of times, Coach, is a lot of people, I believe we take people to the wrong altar. Right. Mm. You know, I mean, we're supposed to take them to the altar of repentance. We end up taking them to the marriage altar when they were never in your life. But because, going back to your number five, you came in so seriously, you know, one of the things that my wife always says is, you know, particularly Christian, Black Christians don't know how to date, you know. And I think part of that is having fun, not take it so seriously. Let the process be the process. I love that last point.
Yes, I'm glad you said that. We have a principle that we teach: commit to the process and not the outcome.
Yeah. Commit to the process and not the outcome.
And not the outcome. We have to let go of that outcome, because if we commit to the process and we learn these ways of connecting and attracting people, removing these limited beliefs, we'll get to the outcome. No doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
We are in the right last waning moments with Coach Marlena Cole. Marlena, in the next minute or so, what would you like to say to, just by way of a coaching moment, what would you like to say to the folks that's watching us tonight?
You know what I'll say, and Monty's kind of already said it, is don't, when you're listening to Relationship Mondays, if you're watching me, take action. Take action, right? Do better the next time. Let go of what didn't work yesterday. Take some of these tools, whatever fits, right? Whatever fits for you, whatever fits in your line of values, take it and put it into action, so that you can attract, connect, and build healthier relationships. Because that's, marriage is work every day. It's action. we don't get to just sit back and chill and not take action every day as a wife. And so if you want to be a wife, if that's what you're striving to, start taking action now and start putting some of these tools and strategies into place.
You heard it from the dating coach, yeah. Marlena Cole. I want to thank you so much, Queen, for giving us your five for tonight. I want to apologize to Dr. Reed. I think he's listening. He says that he was blocked out. Something must have went on. It was just a weird night. Whenever it rains here with internet, it's a lot of things that happen. But you know what? We got the information out there. We got a show in. Yay. And I'm really excited about that. I'm just going to have a moment with all of my audience and just say, guys, we here at Relationship Monday, we love you so much. You know, I have a team that we've put together, and you're going to be introduced to my team a little later this year in the waning months that's coming, because I want to make these shows the best shows possible. I am just so excited about what's coming up. You know, man, next week we're going to have Apostle Ricky Floyd and Pastor Claude Bevere back on. We're going to be talking about five legacies that men can leave their children, because we know a big problem with relationships is the fact that a lot of people didn't have a dad in the home to really teach them how to have a relationship. So, man, I got so many surprises. We're going to, after the show next week, we're going to take 2 weeks off for Labor Day. And I have a traveling day after that. And then we're going to come back with an international show. I'm going to be talking to a divorce coach from England. So Relationship Money is going international. How about that? And then, so we got so many great shows. And it's because of you why we do this. I do this because I'm fulfilling my purpose. My purpose is to help you become the very best version of yourself. And I pray that tonight, some kind of way, I did that. I want to say this before I go, as always, good night, mama. And please know that I love you so much. Good night, y'all.